It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Would you stand and join me in a word of prayer as we begin? Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we just thank you for this opportunity that we get to gather in your name and just to worship you. You guide our lives, and you're such a faithful Father, and we pray that you would just fill this room and just be in this worship. Pray that you would just bless our lives and continue to guide us as we go on through the service and just throughout the week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our first hymn is going to be hymn number 56, To God Be the Glory.
Welcome you this morning. Glad that you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. All of you that are our guests today, we are so grateful, so thankful that the Lord's led you to worship with us today. Take just a few moments, wander around, welcome your friends. We are glad that you are here today. Good to have you.
Thank you. that's all.
Please be seated. We have a great, great, great retreat for you, a great privilege today. About 2 months ago, I believe it was just a random day in the week, and Duck Williams called and said, "Is Joel there?" to Karen, and yeah, he's around. And so Duck came, and we stood out there in the hallway up there talking about this movement that started at Auburn University called Unite Us. And it was a revival for the students there at Auburn University. And I remember seeing a lot about it on Facebook and other places. And I was saying, yeah, I kind of know some about it, Duck. And Duck started then explaining it to me and talking about the leader of that movement, Tanya Pruitt, and her husband, Chad Pruitt. Chad, one of the assistant coaches for the Auburn basketball team with Bruce Pearl. And talking about how he's leaving, resigned as assistant basketball coach, and is joining with his wife to this great movement around the country called Unite Us. And then they started going to all of these different colleges, especially the SEC, and then the movement started going to other places. And so now it has turned into this humongous vision of God that He has given to Tanya and to others, and now Chad. And so Duck and I were talking about all of it, and Duck said, "Do you think there's any way that we could get him to come to First Baptist Church?" And I said, "Sure, I think that'd be great." I will say, though, Ken, our music minister, is a humongous Auburn fan. I mean, you know, it's really a miracle of the Lord that Ken and I, Auburn and Bama, and yet we get along so great. I think it's the lack of hair that makes it work, you know. But Kim was like, "Are you kidding me? He's coming July the 13th. I said, "Yes." And he said, "You know, I'm going to be gone that day." So Ken is very upset about the fact that he is going to be gone. He's really happy what he's doing today. He's actually with David and Shirley Chupp in Rome, Georgia. And so he said, "But, you know, it is what it is. That's the day that the Lord has planned, and that's what we'll do." And so Chad, Duck said, "Can Chad come?" I said, "Sure, that would be great." And so he was here for this morning in the early worship. So he's going to come now and lead us in this worship service. So Chad, you come right on and share the vision that God has given and how we can join that vision.
Ken did text me. I guess he was watching the live stream. He told me to tell you War Eagle. So I'm gonna say War Eagle a few times from the pulpit, just for somebody here on the front row. Hey, my name's Chad Pruitt. I was a basketball coach at Auburn. I coached 30 years, 19 years of high school, 11 years at Auburn University under Coach Pearl. I came here with him, and in fact, I got some really good friends here, and Duck and Gary, Buddy. I don't know if Bridges is here or not, but There he is back there. And we used to, Coach and I, Coach Pearl and I would fly in and do an Auburn event and then turn around and fly out. So I didn't ever really get a chance to really see Gunnersville very much. So when I was driving in, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. I got to come back so I can enjoy the lake. But super excited to be here. And I want to just tell you that God is moving. God is moving across this country. And so many people have said that this generation, Gen Z, is too far gone. And we're seeing the opposite of that. We're seeing God do some miraculous things through this generation. And we've been blessed to be a part of it. It started with my wife. God gave my wife a vision. When she started a prayer group, God gave my wife a vision of thousands of young people worshiping together in Neville Arena. And so she tells me, says, Chad, what does that look like? Do you think we can get the arena? Do you think anybody will come? And I said, I don't know. Let's give it a shot. And so September the 12th, 2023, we had an event called Unite Auburn. We chose Unite because we invited all the churches, all the on-campus ministries, regardless of the denomination, to all come together. And we wanted to have a Unite event, not only for the students, but also the ministries. And so we got Passion Band to come in from Atlanta. We got speakers from Texas to come in. We were really excited. We didn't sell tickets. We didn't have any signups. We had no idea if 500 people would come or 1,000 or whatever. Almost 6,000 young people showed up that night. And many, many gave their life to Christ. And at the end of the event, a young lady comes to the front and she says, I want to get baptized. And so one of the speakers runs over to Tanya and I and says, hey, where can we baptize this little girl, this young girl? And so we get back up. If you're familiar with Auburn, there's a red barn and there's a pond in front of the red barn. It's not the cleanest water. I can promise you this in Auburn. So anyway, she gets on stage and says, hey, we are going to have a baptism for little Susie here that just gave her life to Christ. Y'all come join us at the red barn. By the time Tanya and I got down there, there was about 2,000 young people around this lake. There was pickup trucks on the backside with their lights flashing into the water. We had 6 pastors that were baptizing. We couldn't baptize them all. In fact, we baptized almost 300 that night. And at the end of the night, one of the pastors says, look, there's nothing magical about these waters. Okay, so because we might still be there if that had been the case. We literally just said, hey, you need to understand what you're doing. We basically talked to them about the Lord and gave them opportunity to know Christ through water baptism. So the next 2 nights at 3:00 in the morning, Tanya wakes up. She says, I feel like God's speaking to me, telling me something. I said, well, what's he saying? Tell me and we can talk through it. He said, well, get a team together and do it quickly. Get a team together and do it quickly. What do you think that means? And so we immediately started praying, like, God, what do you want us to do? Within another week, 7 days, we had 10 to 12 universities across the country said, please, whatever you have to do, bring what we saw at Auburn to our campus. And so a ministry was born overnight. And I'd like to stop right now and show a quick video, and then I'll come back up.
I think Jesus, I think the cross was enough. Just come up here, because I'm going to pray over you. Wow. Man, thank you, God.
saw the girl stand up and said, I was atheist until tonight. And God called her that night, and she gave her life to Christ. We were just at Baylor. Our last event was at Baylor, and a young man saw a lot of people moving toward the arena, had no idea what it was. He just followed them there to see what it was. He was an atheist. He was at Baylor's campus, but was an atheist and gave his life to Christ that night. We hear story after story of young people who come into the event wanting to commit suicide and then give their life to Christ, and their life has just changed forever. What we're seeing is this generation is finding God and are reaching out for God, and we are just blessed, humbled, and grateful. I don't know why he called us. You know, I'm a coach and she's a former educator. He didn't call the pastor to do this, but he called us. And so we just ask God to continue to go before us. Was it Moses that said, God, we won't go unless your presence goes before us? And so we just thank God for what he's doing. We've now been on 17 college campuses. Over 100,000 students have come. And get this, 13,000 plus have given their life to Christ. 13,000 souls that are now, yes. We baptized almost 3,000. I didn't mention this earlier, but almost 25,000 we have connected to the local church. We don't want this to be a one-night event, so we connect with local churches on the front end for promotion and volunteers, and on the back end for follow-up and discipleship. And so when we leave, we just pass the baton to the local church. Think about an event. I think you saw Ole Miss where people were coming down. We had almost 2,000 young people come down on one night at the University of Kentucky, 1,500 at Ohio State, 1,000 at Ole Miss. People are coming to the cross. And people say, well, why is that happening? The first thing, prayer. We believe prayer precedes his presence. Prayer always precedes his presence.
Amen.
And so you guys have been standing with Duck and many of you guys, and Pastor, and praying for us. And please continue to do that. Please pray for us. And the second thing we're doing is we are preaching the truth from the stage. This generation has been lied to for too long. And as the truth is being preached, they are responding by the droves. And so how can you help? A couple of ways. First of all, continue to pray. And if you're not praying, please put us on your prayer list. As you can imagine, when you're taking the light into a very dark world, and the college campus is probably the darkest place in America, to be honest with you. And for us to be able to take that light in it, we need God's people praying for us. So please, every time you think about it, pray for us. If you want to partner with us financially, I usually don't even ask that, but I think you did for me the first time.
No, it's good.
But if you want to partner with us financially, please, uniteusmovement.com. You can get in touch with Pastor or Duck. But we would love to have you partner with us. Each one of the events costs between $150,000 and $200,000. And what's cool about that, you do the multiplication, that's $3.5 million in the last year and a half that God has provided. God has provided. He let us know early on, this is not your ministry, Chad. This is my ministry. You're just stewarding it, this ministry. And so we are blessed. My wife is the stud and the rock star of this whole thing, and she's running this thing. And now I guess I'm going to be working for her or with her. I don't know how that's going to work. So y'all pray for me as well. And so we're just super excited. Last thing I'll say is we have 7 campuses we're going to in the fall, starting with the University of Oklahoma. I got to tell one quick story just because my good friend Pastor Joe loves Alabama so much. So we played in 2024. We win the SEC championship, and they rewarded us by sending us all the way to Spokane, Washington, all the way across country to play. Alabama was also in that region. So we get upset in the first round. And so we're obviously very, very disappointed. That's on a Thursday. Well, the next Tuesday, only God could orchestrate this. We are going to unite Alabama. So we had an event in Alabama. So somehow I've got to present the good news of Jesus Christ to, as an Auburn fan, to the Alabama folks. And God moved that night. It was an incredible night. But I did do this, I got to confess. When we did the baptism, I held the Alabama folks down just a little longer. I just wanted to make sure I'm just joking. But God has moved all across, not just the Southeast, but Ohio State, Purdue. We're talking to folks out at UCLA, Boise. So God is moving. We've got 10 to 20 other universities that are trying to get us to go. So please stand with us and continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, brother. All right, thank you, Chad. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this vision. I said this in the early worship. Yeah, it's really special what God is doing in this, but let me tell you something. And you Auburn people won't get this, but Bama people will get this. You'll understand what I'm saying here. If God can show up at Knoxville, Tennessee, my gosh, that's big. That's humongous. What a great movement. So we're gonna make this partnership with Chad, that we're gonna covenant with him to pray. And we'll figure out how, as a staff, how we want that to look and how we want to encourage our church family to just join together with Chad, with Tanya, and with Unite Us to pray. But then also, and Chad didn't even say this in early worship, but I'm the one that said it. So if you would like to give, if you'd like to, once again, it's about two, when they go to a new campus, Baylor, Texas A&M, Ohio State, West Virginia, when they go to a new campus in order to do this event, it's a lot. It's about $200,000 to make those events happen. And that's not small change. And so they need financial support as well. So if you would like to give financially to that, we want to encourage you to do that. You can go to Unite Us, see me, see Duck. We will help you figure out how you can help financially. But mainly we want to join with them together as the body of Christ to pray, because God is truly doing a remarkable, remarkable thing through the Chad and Tanya and others, and so we want to join with them in prayer. So thank you, Chad, for being here today with us. All right, continue to lead us.
Our offertory hymn is hymn number 343, Amazing Grace. We're going to remain seated until the last stanza.
Lord, and just worship you and praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for Chad being here this morning and sharing the good news, Lord, that how you're moving among our youth on campuses and across the nation. And Lord, we know that a nation that loves you is blessed, and the people of that nation, Lord, are blessed as well. And what an inheritance, Lord, that we have. Lord, this morning as we take up an offering, we just pray, Lord, that you multiply it and use it to make you known across this nation and across the world. And in all things, Lord, may you receive honor and glory. And we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Day by.
Thank you, Carson Brown, for filling in for Ken today, leading us in music. Thank you for all that you've done this morning, and thank you for leading us in worship. All right, we've had way too much hair on this stage today. It's time for the bald people to take over. Ken and I usually are the only two up here leading, and so all of a sudden, Chad, boy's got a good set of hair, and Carson got hair everywhere, and so... All right, Psalm 33. So that song, Lead On, Good Shepherd, that's our summer series. So we started back in the 1st of May. For those of you that are new with us today and visiting with us today, we started back at the 1st of May, called it Summer Psalms. And we're obviously, in a summer, you can't cover all 150 chapters of Psalms. So we're just kind of going, just allowing the Lord different subject matters. Now, we've got to be very clear that we all understand every single Sunday, without fail, no matter what, whether we're in Psalm 33 or last Sunday, Psalm 23 or Psalm 2 or Psalms 1 or Psalm 119, it doesn't matter. All Psalms point to Jesus as the Messiah. If the Psalm doesn't point to Jesus as the Messiah, it's no good. You've missed the whole point. If all it is just a good lesson for you to learn, oh, well, this is teaching me how to be more faithful. Oh, this is teaching me how to handle my finances. Oh, this is teaching me how to be a better husband or wife. If all it does is teach you how to be a better whatever it is that you're wanting to be better at, then you've missed the whole point. Because what the psalm does ultimately is it points us, every single psalm has at the very end of it an arrow. And that arrow points to Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus himself, we heard this last week, Jesus himself said, all things must be fulfilled according to the law of Moses, according to the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus himself said, all of the Psalms, the psalmists, they pointed to me as the Messiah. So, every single psalm, and this is no different today, we're all going to see how it points to Christ as the Messiah. So, thus far, though, along the way, as we're pointing to Jesus as the Messiah through the psalms, we've seen wisdom, joy, sovereignty, blessing, truth, despair, deliverance, faithfulness, trust, worship. And then last Sunday we saw the Good Shepherd, the great metaphor of God as the Good Shepherd. And where we ended last Sunday was the Good Shepherd gives everything we need. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, the Good Shepherd provides it. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the Good Shepherd and everything in between, the Good Shepherd provides everything that we need. But the main thing that the Good Shepherd provides for us through His Son Jesus is the gospel, the good news, the light and darkness, and salvation that He gives to us through Jesus His Son. So we saw that last Sunday. Well, today, with Chad being here, all right? So they're talking about a vision. They're talking about a vision that God is giving to them. Now, how do we take this vision that God is giving to us, and how do we take this vision out to the college campuses all over America? How do we shine light of the gospel in darkness? And so they're planning for the future. When we think about our own church, one of the things that we're doing right now, as we're coming out of COVID, COVID changed the world that we live in. And it changed our church, drastically changed our church. And so we've seen a lot of growth, but the growth church is not just our young couples with children. It is young couples with children and our youth, but it's not just that. It's senior adults as well. So from birth to senior adults, we've had all this tremendous growth in the lifeblood of First Baptist Church. And so over the past year with Lyndall Glasgow as our long-range planning committee chair and our long-range planning committee, we've been trying to navigate that. How are we going to continue to navigate growth at First Baptist Church? How are we going to plan for that? almost 18 years ago, we got into this building up here for our students. Now, if you'd have told us that we were going to get 18 years out of that building, we'd have said, I don't know, it's archaic, it's too small, it's falling literally off of the side of the hill up there. And so how Warren and Heather have done, they're going to Belize this next week on a mission trip. They've done such an incredible job with the growth of that youth ministry. So how do we navigate that? Our children's ministry with Micah and Rachel, it just continues to just explode bigger and bigger. Anchored Adventures, senior adults. All of our senior adults, or most of our senior adults, are up on the top floor. We've got to get senior adults down to the bottom floor. So we've got a lot of things that we've got to do. The Lord has got to lead us and guide us. And we're navigating these treacherous waters called church growth. Parking lot, minor renovations to our fellowship hall. Those are immediate needs that we're going to try to tend to in the next few weeks. Not this coming Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night, the 23rd, we're going to have a special call business meeting to vote on parking lot renovations in the fellowship hall. But we have much bigger plans than just parking lots and fellowship hall renovations. So we're talking about guidance today. But look, church, we're not just talking about our church. We're talking about your family. We're talking about you as an individual. Some of our seniors graduated high school just a few weeks ago, and in just a few weeks they will move on. They will either go to college, they will go to the workforce, they will join the military, but what are they doing? They are planning for the future. Our young families, planning with your finances about your children. How are you going to pay for them to go to college? How are we going to pay for retirement? And so we're planning as young families about the future and financially and where we're going to live and the jobs that we're going to have. Individuals, what job do you want? What's God leading as far as your career is concerned? Are you going to get married? You're not going to get married. You're going to have children. You're not going to have children. So we put these planning decisions in front of the Lord. But the bigger issue that I'm dealing with today is this. What then, as we think about Unite Us, as we think about our students going to Belize, as we think about student ministry and children's ministry and Anchored Adventures and senior adult ministry and then your family and how, what are you planning as far as your family is concerned or you as an individual? The main question, though, that we're dealing with is this. What then is God-centered, rational, efficient planning? What is God-centered, rational, efficient planning in the life of our church? What is God-centered planning in the life of your family? What is God-centered planning in our individual lives? The psalmist says in verses 10 and 11, Psalm 33, the Lord frustrates the plans of the nations, thwarts all of their schemes, but the Lord's plans stands forever because His intentions can never be shaken. Let me say that again. The Lord's plans stand firm forever because His intentions can never, ever, ever, no matter what you see in this world, no matter what you see on the news, no matter what our world looks like, God's intentions can never be shaken. John Stott, who is an expert on the Psalms, writes, the point of these verses is that both men and God plan, but in the end, it's not the plans of men that are established, but God's. It's all important to realize that God plans the world, and He plans the church, and His plans always succeed. His plans take precedence over our plans, and His plans are to be incorporated, admired, and enjoyed. I realize that there are times when it doesn't seem to be true that God's plans succeed, but they do. We might not see it with our own eyes, but His plans always succeed. And then in verses 16 through 22, the best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death and He keeps them alive in times of famine. But our hope in the Lord, He is our help. He is our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is always in You and You alone. Once again, Stott writes, no matter how great our resources, victory belongs to the Lord. A king may have a mighty army and strong warriors. His horses may have great strength, but on the day of battle, God alone decides who wins. And God can make the stronger or weaker win, whichever He determines, His plan determines. He has 1,000 ways of making the weaker victorious over the stronger and receiving glory for His own name. In the Shakespearean play, King Henry V, and I remember it being made into a movie in the late 80s, and I still remember that movie. King Henry V had a small little army in comparison to the enemy. They were a third of the army of the enemy's army. The enemy hurled all of these arrows, thousands upon thousands of arrows, into the sky, headed toward King Henry V and his small little army. And I can still remember there were so many arrows in the sky that the sky was dark, filled with all of these arrows coming at them. And so their attitude was, who's in charge of those arrows? The warrior that slung the arrow? Or is it God in charge of the arrow? Will that arrow just haplessly, hopelessly, and aimlessly hit the ground? Or will that arrow strike into all of us and literally kill us dead on the battlefield? So the question was, who is in charge? 1 inch here, that arrow, or 1 inch there? Who's in charge of where the arrow goes? Who's in charge of what the arrow hits? And they determined that God was the one in charge of those arrows. And King Henry, at the end, and his small little army, they walked through this bloody battlefield singing, Non nobis domini, not to us, O Lord, be the glory. You're the one in charge, and You are the one, not to us, O Lord, be the glory. You're the one that receives the glory and honor. And that's the theme, and that's the point of Psalm chapter 33. We may plan, but God's plans hold sway. We may pursue a certain direction, but the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. He decides what plan and resources succeed. God is the central figure in our church planning, in our corporate planning, in our family planning, in our work, in our individual lives. Now, does that mean that we just walk haphazardly through life? No plan whatsoever, just let the wind blow where it wills. Don't worry about planning. God will decide everything. No, not at all. We just need to make sure as believers, and Chad and I were talking about this during the, after they went to the youth ministry during Sunday school hour, we were talking about this whole thing. Make sure that we understand that as we plan, our plan never, ever trumps God's plan. First, we realize that God's plan always takes precedence over ours. I love what Stott says. His plans are to be incorporated. They are to be admired. And then I love how he ends that by saying, and God's plans also need to be enjoyed. Worshiping the Father and enjoying Him forever. Second, no matter how great our resources, our brain power, our success in this world, victory always belongs to the Lord. And third, the eye of the Lord is always on those who fear Him. By fear, what do we mean? Reverent awe of God the Father and trust in Him and Him alone. God loves it when His children give Him glory and trust in Him and make His name known then to the world. So the heart of the gospel today is this: God's greatest plan, the greatest plan in the history of humanity, is the gospel, the good news. And it shoots down every single plan in the world. Choose the way of the world, money, possessions, pleasure, sex. Choose all the ways of the world, and you have a 100% guarantee. Guarantee. We've been trying it since King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. He said thousands of years ago, everything under the sun, we've tried it all. But boy, he never did live in 21st century America, did he? Everything under the world and the world's plan, and it will always, 100% of a guarantee, it will always, always let you down. Why? Because it has no choice. It was never built to last for all eternity. It has no choice. The things of this world will always, always, always let you down. And yet, here we are thousands of years later as sinners, still trying every single day, don't we? Depend on God and God alone, and His plans will always, always bring joy. Father, thank You for that good news of the gospel through Psalm 33. Thank You for that good news. Your plans will always succeed. Therefore, it is for us as Your children to fear You and to worship You and to adore You and to trust You. Sometimes we can't see it with our own eyes, and that's okay. That's what trust is all about. Thank You for the ultimate plan that You provided for us called Jesus, Your Son, the gospel, light in darkness. Thank You for that good word that You've given to us today. May we trust You in all things, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus as our invitation that we're going to sing. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you today to do that. You've heard the gospel from Chad Pruitt and what the Lord is doing in that ministry and how the gospel is just shining all over these college campuses. You've heard the gospel as Carson and the choir singing. You've heard the gospel through the Psalms. Everything is pointed to the gospel, the good news. If you've never trusted Christ, we encourage you to do that today. If you need to come join our church, come and pray. Whatever the Lord leads you, do that as we stand, as we sing. All right, real quickly, be seated. What do we got first, Will? All right, girls, come. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I said this is our last fundraiser for the mission team, the Belize mission team that's going to be all that's heading off on July the 19th. And I told y'all that a couple of weeks ago, but that's your fault for trusting a Baptist preacher. Never, ever trust a Baptist preacher when it comes to talking about money. All right. So we had one more. Things came up with the mission team, especially when it came to betting. And so they had to raise a little bit more so today. Go ahead, girls. Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Malone Partain.
And my name is Audrey Smith.
And we are a part of this church, and we are at the Gunnersville Youth. But basically, next week, we are going on a mission trip to Belize, the 19th through the 26th, so Saturday to Saturday. And, yeah, so basically, for many months, we've been having fundraisers, yard sales, luncheons, all stuff like that. But we do, and we've raised so much money thanks to all of y'all. But today we do have one more to raise a little bit more money for bedding and things that we're going to be doing there. So if anyone wants to come and eat some tacos, that'd be great, and donate a little bit. Or if you already have some lunch plans, then just come donate a little bit. Anything helps.
You can eat it to go or in the fellowship hall, whatever you please.
And also we have some desserts, so if y'all want to skip the tacos completely and just go and eat dessert, I don't blame you. I do that too.